You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I'm Art Ray. Today's guest is Dr. Mitzi Krall. Mitzi Krall, Ph.D., believes that results matter. Skilled in a variety of alternative practices, Mitzi has distilled and interwoven her diverse expertise into unique and effective insights, allowing her to create customized solutions for individuals and corporations. In addition to being the author of numerous published articles, Mitzi is often heard on radio stations throughout the country and is quoted in a variety of publications throughout the world, including Entrepreneur Magazine and Reuters Business. Her training and experience in alternative therapies includes earning multiple hypnotherapy certifications from some of the world's top practitioners, studying NLP with founder Richard Bandler, becoming a Reiki master, and certification in Chinese energetics. She is also an advanced student of controlled remote viewing. Her business experience has led her to write the highly acclaimed business book, 100 Smartest Marketing Ideas Ever. She will be mentoring the online e-group, Co-Creating Your Life Using Whole Brain Thinking, from August 17th to September 13th. You can find out more by going to edgarcayce.org, clicking on Education, and then clicking on e-groups. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Oh, Art, it's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, you have an e-group coming up from August 17th to September 13th, and it's called Using Whole Brain Thinking. First of all, could you tell us, what is an e-group?
The e-groups are basically an organized training session that the Edgar Cayce Foundation has put together. They do a lot of in-house seminars and a lot of in-house classes, and then somebody came up with the idea that we could do this online. Technology is changing everything. And so what we've put together are these e-groups where people go online, they register to take these courses, they're presented at a phenomenal price. A lot of the education that you're getting here, if you were to attend a live seminar, you would pay hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars for. The information is downloaded through manuals and through MP3s or whatever format you need so that you can actually hear the recordings. And then you have live access to the instructors. You can ask questions online. And when you ask these questions online, then the instructors can get online and answer these questions. And it's wonderful because every question that is asked is evaluated and accessible to everybody within that whole e-group class. So there gets to be a ton of interaction, and it's amazing how attached the members of these classes become. I have people that have taken courses 2 or more years ago from around the world, and we still send out little birthday greetings, keep in line through Facebook, different formats. So it ends up being a very tight-knit, fun group as the weeks develop.
Well, how long does it last?
4 weeks. And I don't know how other people do their courses, but mine builds. The first week is foundational, and then the next week you add to that, and the next week you add, and then we set the whole thing off in a catalyst of a grand finale.
So does someone need to be on the computer at a set time every day?
Absolutely not. You post your questions anytime you want to, and I access them. Some people do it, I believe, once or twice a day. I do it several times a day. I access the questions and then post the answers. So the answers are available to anybody pretty much any time.
What will people learn in your e-group?
Well, let me give you a little background, which will explain this a little bit better. A number of years ago, Art, I was involved in a business that was very successful. And the problem with it was, even though I was making a lot of money, it was very boring, so I knew I needed to do something to expand my thinking and using my own brain. And quite by accident, I ended up in a course on hypnosis. It was a very unique course. It works through an entirely different paradigm than most hypnosis courses. So in addition to using the conscious versus subconscious and using hypnosis as a gateway into the subconscious mind, I learned the value of right and left brain thinking. Now, most of us are familiar with the concepts of the left brain thinker being very analytical, the right brain thinker being more emotional and creative. But once you delve into this information, it goes so much deeper than that. It is unbelievable. So with that understanding, I move forward into a number of other practices and alternative healing methodologies, and found out that this information works with all of them. So this whole thing has just continued to expand and extrapolate out into more and more knowledge and more information. I kind of call it, do you remember a number of years ago when there was an ad? I've not done television for, I think, 5 years. So I don't even know if this ad is still airing. But there's an ad from a company that I believe was called BASF. And the tagline that they use is, we don't make, and then they insert the product name, we make the product better. Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of the premise that this whole course is built on. It's not related to any specific thing. If we don't make, we make something better. Well, I don't make Reiki. I don't make NLP. I didn't create hypnosis. I didn't create energy work. I didn't create the law of attraction, but using the techniques that I teach through this class or this e-group, this course, you can take whatever practice you're doing and make it, just take it to a whole nother level.
Could you tell us about the mind model?
The mind model basically says that it, and this is much easier to do if you have the diagram available. If you think of, you know, you make a circle, okay, and consider that your mind. And then somewhere around the top 10% of that circle, draw a line straight across, kind of like a barrier. That top part represents anywhere, well, let's say the bottom part, let's start there. The bottom part represents 88 to 99% of your mind. That's your subconscious or other than conscious or whatever terminology you want to use for it. That's the part that actually controls your life. That top little 1 to 12%, and again, it depends on what studies you read. I hate using these numbers because they vary for everybody. But, you know, people tell you, well, you only use 5 or 10% of your brain. The rest of it is just kind of there. Well, if that were the case, we could do a lobotomy on 88 to 99% of our brain, and it wouldn't be a problem. Obviously, that makes no sense. Obviously, you need your entire brain. We use it all. It's just that 1 to 12% is used consciously versus the 88 to 99% that is the subconscious or unconscious or other than conscious. So when you start with that particular paradigm, you realize that the power is really in that 88 to 99%. But what we're going through life doing, we're trying to implement the law of attraction using that 1 to 12%. Most people don't know how to bypass that barrier that is called the critical mind or the critical factor. And once you learn how to bypass that barrier and get into the 88 to 99%, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out how much more powerful you are. It's like having 1 to 12 horses going against 88 to 99. The big team's going to win. So if you can get into the big team, you're going to win. Now, and again, then the rest of that quadrant becomes your right and left brain, which we already discussed a little bit. That's very dependent on language. It's very language specific. That language is very specific to each person, and part of what my course offers is, and part of what my e-group offers is various tests and evaluations to help you determine, are you more right brain, are you more left brain, kind of to what degree, and how do you use that information. Now, a lot of times people have signed up for my e-group, and I think they're just kind of expecting another little Me Too class, you know, just, you know, more of the same, maybe just worded a little bit different. And a number of them have written me and said, I need more time to get my mind around this than I have available to me in 4 weeks. This is altogether new stuff. Are you available for questions after the 4 weeks? And, of course, the obvious answer is yes. The whole point of doing this is to share the information and give people that power, to give people their true personal power. And, you know, I'm not going to sell anybody short by saying, oh, the 4 weeks is up, you know, tough luck. And to their credit, no one has ever taken undue advantage of that.
Could you elaborate on the right brain versus left brain thinking?
Yes. Okay. We're all familiar, again, with the part that says the left brain is the analytical person. That's the part that's good with language, with math, with those kinds of things. The right brain is more conceptual and emotional. But it extrapolates out much, much deeper than that. left brain people speak a specific type of language. Right brain people speak a specific type of language. Have you ever had the experience, Art, where you've talked to somebody and you know that you've said all the right stuff and they're just glazed over and they didn't hear a word that you were saying, even though they meant to, they just couldn't hear you?
Oh, well, yes.
Explain how that works. And that determines what relationships we end up in. That determines who we marry. That determines how that marriage is going to work. That determines professionally where we end up, how successful we are as managers. It just goes on and on and on. It is the foundation of everything. And that's why when I use the VASF tagline, we don't make whatever, we make that product better. That's how that connection is made. Once you understand how we work, then you've got all the power in the world to influence yourself as well as others.
We'll be right back with more with Dr. Mitzi Krall. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Mitzi Krall, PhD.
Oh, yes, I've had that experience tutoring someone in algebra. What I was pointing out, I thought I was explaining something very specifically and basically, and that person just stared at me, and I went over it several times, and to me it was like saying the sky is blue. You know, look, the sky is blue. It's obvious, but this person just didn't get it, and it's not like they were unintelligent. There was some sort of communication difference there.
And that this could very well have been it. Because, see, left-brain people speak directly, but they hear in inferences, and right-brain people speak in inferences, but they hear directly. And then that breaks down into degrees and amounts and all the rest that go with that. You know, you add to that, that critical mind, that critical factor, and know that you have to bypass that to get into your subconscious mind. You've got a lot of mind dynamics going on in there that no one's talking about. And in my experience, Art, this is so profoundly influential, both in our ability to influence success in our own lives, but also to help influence our relationships, success in other people's lives. It just goes on and on and on. I mean, in the real world, how does this translate? Sure, we can talk about being able to manifest things in our own life that work well, okay? Truthfully, that's not all that tough. I like going even a couple of notches above that. You know, what do they say? Dream big, you know? So in the real world, I've taken this into companies. I had one company that I did work with recently, and they were making about $200,000 a month. We did an afternoon session, and after 90 days, their income had increased to just under $600,000 a month. Now, this wasn't a brand new startup company that was ramping up. This is a 30-year-old established company. And half the people in this class were looking at me like I had two horns growing out of my head because they thought I was totally nuts with all the stuff that I was teaching them and where I was taking them and what I was telling them. But at the end of the day, I was able to get the message in. And even though they didn't overtly do anything different than what they had previously done, their subconscious mind, that reticular activation system, they call it, that little 4-inch thing is the brainstem that tells you what to pay attention to and what not to, had all reprogrammed themselves so that they basically tripled this company's income in 90 days. That's how powerful it can be.
And I know you have a background in marketing, so perhaps you were using this subconsciously before when you were marketing to others, because you have to be able to relate to other people and know how they think.
There's a lot to that. I make jokes. I call myself the pragmatic mystic, okay, because, you know, I grew up on a farm. I'm a real down-to-earth person, Art. I know if you put hay in one end of a cow, I know it's going to come out the other end, okay? I don't buy into a lot of this real, what I consider far out there. I want the dots to connect, and I want to see results. I'm very results-driven. And so, yeah, I spent 20 years in marketing, won all kinds of awards, did tons of stuff. I've actually written a book, and that was going to be kind of my going away present to the marketing world, or so I thought. And you're right, I was using a lot of this stuff without being aware that I was using it. But when you go out and actually learn it and are able to articulate it and know what you're doing, then you just get to do it better. Plus, you know, you get new knowledge, you get new understanding. So the joke is, in many ways, I've come full circle back around into the marketing world, but with a whole new bag of tricks.
Did Edgar Cayce's readings talk about the mind?
Edgar Cayce talks about the mind in several of his readings. Now, don't take me wrong. There's a lot of readings out there that I'm not familiar with, so there may be many, many more. But, you know, his reading 906-3 starts out, "For the mind is the builder, and that which we think upon may be crimes or miracles, for thoughts are things, and their currents run through the environs of the entity's experience, and these become barriers or stepping stones, dependent upon the manner in which these are laid, as it were." I mean, there are just oodles of them. What one thinks continually, they become. What one cherishes in their heart and mind, they make a part of the pulsation of their heart. So, and I won't go through the exact readings, but that was reading number 3744-5. So yes, Edgar Cayce really did understand the power of the mind and the influence that the mind has on our day-to-day reality. I think what has happened is, as time has progressed, science has met up with a lot of these readings, as they have many of his readings. You know, a lot of things are that people were poo-hooing that Edgar Cayce did a number of years ago are now being looked at much more seriously than they were previously, because science is proving out many of these readings. And I think science has also taught us a lot more about the mind than any of us knew then. And so now we're able to take his insight and put more pragmatic techniques to it and use it and grow it even better than before.
Well, how can someone apply this information in their life?
Just about any way they want to. And I know that sounds terribly flippant, but I think, you know, as we were talking, Art, you can understand how this does. This affects relationships. Are you looking to be involved in a relationship? You know, do you really know how to set goals? If you're doing the traditional military, this is where I want to be at 12 o'clock, so at 11 o'clock I need to be here, at 10 o'clock I need to be here, 9 o'clock I need to be here, back into it kind of thing, and then put an action plan to it, it's probably not going to work. They show that, I forget the exact statistics, but I think it's only one person in 10 is able to actually change their life, even if it's a life-dependent situation. But with the right kind of support in the right areas, they can change that to 8 out of 10 can actually succeed in changing their life. So when you take this information and you realize that you have the power to reprogram that subconscious mind, and you have the power to take that reprogramming and apply it to any facet of your life, that you have the power to communicate better than you have ever done before. You know, they say when you, as you go through life, use what you have available to you. Well, we all use language, so let's learn to use it well. And, you know, what language do you want to use? What words work? If you say, you know, you are successful, that's a statement. That is a direct comment. If you are more successful, that means that you were successful before, but you're becoming more successful. There's an inference in there that creates a baseline that you can grow on. And I know that might not be the you know, maybe compare that to now that you're successful, that inference could be that you were not successful before. So a lot of times we're saying things and we're insulting people and we're communicating messages that we don't even mean to be communicating. And that's important stuff, because when you're talking to the other person, it's not that 1 to 12% conscious mind that's hearing it. It's the 88 to 99%. So life really is being interacted on and used at that deep subconscious level. So once you can change that, it can affect your professional life. It can affect your, you know, maybe you're an accident-prone person. You can change that. That's just part of your interior programming. What are your goals? What is it that you really want to accomplish? How can you get that? How can you bypass that critical mind and get that into your subconscious? So you can really pretty much take this into just about any area of your life that you want to improve.
Well, how did you first learn about Edgar Cayce?
This is almost a funny story. I grew up in what is technically central Minnesota, but it's referred to as northern Minnesota, the Brainerd Lakes area it's called. And, you know, growing up in that very rural kind of remote environment, people were extremely traditional. And I was very blessed. My best friend's mother was this free-thinking, very spiritual, very amazing woman. So I had her influence in my life for a number of years. She was somebody who would drive an hour and a half one way to get to the Twin Cities area where she could go to a specific church that met her needs. And she was familiar with Edgar Cayce. So I sort of grew up having that thinking readily available to me through my best friend's mother. And she's the one that introduced me to and taught me about the fundamental Edgar Cayce trainings, his life. And since then, I have followed them, obviously a huge fan. And over a number of years, as I've done this work, it has worked for me personally. I have a very successful, lucrative life, and on many levels. And, you know, we all hit the point where you want to start giving back. You've accomplished what you need to. You've hit your comfort zone, and you realize that you want to give back. I also realize that a lot of the knowledge that I have art is extremely unique. And the last thing I want to do is die. I mean, this sounds morbid, but, you know, we're all going to pass on. I don't want to die and take this with me. I want to leave it here. I want other people to have this knowledge and this information and this personal power so that they can move forward and be a positive influence in the world and hopefully just keep people can take. You know, we all stand on the shoulders of those who came before us, and I'm no exception. I'm standing on the shoulders of people who have done some incredible research, probably have never gotten what's the word that I'm looking for? They've probably never gotten the acknowledgement. Thank you. Yeah, the accolades and the acknowledgement that they deserve. And I'm not looking for acknowledgement and accolades, but I want to take their work. I've synergized it. I've put it together. I've melded it down into something very useful.
And now we're going to take a quick break to go over the upcoming conferences at the ARE in Virginia Beach from August 5th to the 6th. Energy Medicine with Dr. C. Norman Shealy. From August 19th to the 21st, A Spiritual Roadmap for Enlightened Living, Edgar Cayce's Tools for Transformation and Guidance. Experiential Tools for Soul Growth and Spiritual Fulfillment with Kevin J. Tedeschi, Henry Reed, Ph.D., Peter Woodbury, MSW, Josie Varga, author of Visits from Heaven, astrologer Ray Mathis, and more. September 9th to the 11th, Spiritual Breakthrough Retreat. John Van Auken and Istvan Fizikas outline Edgar Cayce's techniques for making direct contact with what Cayce calls the universal consciousness. And we'll be right back with more with Dr. Mitzi Krall on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. Let's continue our conversation with Dr. Mitzi Krall.
Even when I was marketing in the computer industry, one of my claims to fame was being able to take one of these really huge, complicated concepts and just sort of boil them down into something comprehensible and usable. And I think that's what I've done with a lot of this work, Art. I've taken literally over $100,000 in training and had years and years and years of training. And what I have done is I've really distilled this and simplified it into something that is readily accessible. And the ongoing joke at our house is one of my neighbors used to be the head nurse of a psychiatric unit, and she comes over and does some work with me from time to time, and she just laughs because she says these psychiatrists have all this, they have the big complicated knowledge, but she said they kill to be able to distill it into your simple little exercises and get the results that you get. So I guess that kind of sums it up.
I think that's a problem a lot of us have when we're trying to explain something. So is this something that would help with that?
Yes. Simply put, yes. Yes, it's from it's the everyday conversations all the way up to the big ideas. But, you know, remember, the big ideas really break down into, they're implemented through the everyday concepts and the everyday communications that we have. And, yes, when you learn that when you say this, this is what somebody else hears, that's huge information to have. That suddenly opens the door to a whole nother level of understanding. And so if people will actively, you know, take this information and use it, they really do find that their life changes dramatically and their relationships change dramatically. And the influence that you can have on others. Now, this course really isn't about influencing others, but I think that's a very important component of it. I think if you get into this little e-group and you read between the lines, you really start learning about your ability to influence others. And I don't mean that in an unethical way. Remember that 88 to 99% subconscious mind is always protecting us. We've all had the experience of driving down the road. You know, this is the classic example. And then you get to your destination and you go, oh my gosh, how did I get here? Because you don't remember if you stopped at that stop sign or if you stopped at that stoplight or, you know, we call it environmental hypnosis. That's a breakdown between the conscious and subconscious mind. So that subconscious mind stopped at that stop sign. It stopped at that stoplight. It did what it was supposed to do. It got you there safely. It is always protecting you. Nobody can make you do anything that you don't want to do. That's why when clients come see me for hypnosis and they come see me for things like, oh, I want to quit smoking. And they say, but I really don't want to. It's my wife or my husband that wants me to. I look at that situation and go, uh-oh, this is not good. Do I still get results? More often than not, yeah, fortunately. Because I am able to build motivation in them by using the right language and do different things. So, but you can't influence people to go do something that they really don't want to do, not in any big way, and you certainly can't influence somebody to harm themselves or to harm others. But with that said, if you're in sales, you definitely want to be able to influence somebody, and especially if you know that your product is so much better than somebody else's, you're actually doing your customer a service by making sure that they buy your product. And you want to be able to influence that person in a positive way. So I covered a lot of ground there. Does that kind of answer your question, Art?
Oh, yes. Wow, that sounds very useful. And it's interesting you're talking about entering a state of hypnosis while you're driving. Is hypnosis going to be a part of the e-group?
Not technically, okay? But you have to understand, anytime you're bypassing that critical mind and influencing the subconscious mind, that is a form of hypnosis. So even though we're not using the word hypnosis, a lot of the paradigms that we're working with, I learned through various forms of hypnosis and by taking those forms and kind of synergizing them and compiling them and doing some experiments of my own and coming up with kind of my own new paradigm of the whole thing. So while technically it's not a hypnosis course and you're not going to be able to go out and hypnotize somebody else once you're done with it, you will gain a much deeper understanding of the whole mind-body connection and bypassing the critical mind. And remember, hypnosis is just influencing. You can't force anybody to do anything. So from that standpoint, there's some overlap there, yeah.
And I was wondering, when it comes to motivation, this just relates to me. Let's say I wanted to stop eating donuts, but, you know, you can say you want to stop, or let's say it's smoking. I don't smoke, but, you know, you mentioned that some people really don't want to stop. They, you know, their spouse or somebody else wants them to stop. But could they say, I want to stop? Maybe that's the first step.
That is the first step. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. I want to stop. You articulated that perfectly. That's where you want to go. And some of the techniques that we cover in the C group can help you want to do whatever it is that you think you want to do, but you're not sure if you really want to do.
Some of what you say seems to relate to synchronicity. Is that a part of what you cover in the E group?
Synchronicity, I would say, yes, we talk about it, but I would say more than that, I would say it's a result. You know, as you know, the classic line, there are no coincidences. Once you start doing this work, and especially in the very last to fourth week, I talk about how I've used this stuff in my own life and what has happened and some of the really crazy, it's just stuff that doesn't even happen in life, things that have happened to me to my benefit. And So from that standpoint, the synchronicity is a result of doing this work. It opens doors that you didn't know could even be opened and offers opportunities. And you develop an awareness because these opportunities, a lot of times, are around us all the time, but you don't really see them because you're looking at them through a filter that sort of blocks them out. You know how many times you've looked through your car keys and they were sitting right there on the kitchen table, but you didn't see them? Well, that's true about so many things in life. It's all right there, but we're missing it because we don't know what to pay attention to or how to open our filter to allow us to see these things.
Could you explain an example of synchronicity in your life?
I have one that I will share, and I share this one a lot. Along with all the other crazy stuff that I've studied art and done, I study remote viewing with Lynn Buchanan, who was one of the original, basically psychic spies for the U.S. government. And I don't want to get sidetracked into a whole other conversation about that. But as somebody who does remote viewing, before our economy crashed, you know, the big day when the stock market went all the way into the toilet, I had done some remote viewing and kind of checked on things, and I knew the stock market was going to crash. So I took all my money out of the stock market, and I sat on it and sat on it and sat on it, and nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happened. And you know how we all second-guess ourselves. No matter how good you get at this stuff, none of us are 100%, okay? And I'm no exception. So what I did is I put my money back in the stock market. It wasn't 24 hours, and it crashed.
Wow.
And I was so angry. Yeah, I know. And so he's going, well, that's not exactly what I'm looking for. I'm not taking the e-group to lose money, right? So, but the story continues. I was so angry at myself for having done that, that I wouldn't even look at the statements when they came in. I would have nothing to do with any of it. I just typically, you know, put on the blindfold, ignored it, stuck it away, and just said, well, whatever, it is what it is, and I'm rolling from here. Hopefully it will come back. Well, when it came time to do the taxes, I didn't have a choice. I had to look at those financial statements. When I opened them up, I had made a boatload of money. And I went, how did this happen? Well, basically what happened is my money had never gone back in when I had told it to. Now, when's the last time anybody has called their stockbroker and said, put my money back in the stock market, and it didn't go back in?
Wow.
That's unheard of. But mine didn't go back in. And to this day, nobody can explain how that money did not go back in. Now, some of what I call my littler accounts went back in, and I took a good hit on them. But the lion's share of my money never went back in the stock market. It had been set aside, and I was able to put it back in when the stock market was still low and make a ton of money. So how's that for synchronicity or coincidence? Again, I don't want to give away the whole course, but I tell you how it never should have happened, but I ended up with this magnificent beach house, and this is an area you're familiar with, being in Virginia Beach, down in Ocracoke Island. I share a number of impossible stories, and you know, just to show people that I use this stuff in my own life and it really does work. You know, I think one of the things that's happened, Art, and maybe it's just my own personal prejudice, but I think there's a lot of people out there who, and I don't know if this is, this is not a technical term. Let's just call it as it is. They're blowing a lot of smoke and getting paid good money for it. All right. And I think by sharing my own story and my own experiences and how profound they've been, it reaffirms the fact that I'm not one of the people out there telling you a bunch of stuff that's not really going to work. I've studied this stuff. I've worked with it. I've applied it to my own life, and I've gotten unbelievable results.
We'll be right back with more with Dr. Mitzi Krall on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Mitzi Krall, Ph.D.
I mean, remember, you're talking to a girl here who grew up as a kid in a rural, out-of-the-way place in a family that was very hardworking but not wealthy. I was milking cows, and we didn't have those fancy machines. I was using my hands, okay, and sometimes in 40 below weather. And these weren't heated barns. We didn't have that kind of money. So for me to be living the lifestyle that I'm living now and have the things that I'm having now, it's a big stretch. It's a real big stretch. And you know what? I made it. Using this work, I made it.
Could you tell us maybe a few factors of how we can know if we're left or right brain thinkers?
Here's the easiest test that I know, and I love this one. And I hope that anybody who's listening to this recording will do it before I give the answers, because otherwise they're going to create the result that they want. One of the things that I tell people when they come visit me is I have no secrets. A lot of people have the idea that somehow you have secrets and you have tricks of the trade, you have this and that. No, it's all pretty straightforward. The thing is, though, I don't tell people information until after they've done the tests, because that way they can't skew them to what they think they want them to be. So go ahead, anybody that's listening to this, and of course, obviously, if you're driving down the road in a car or whatever, you're not going to want to do this, but if it's safe, just close your eyes and picture a tree. And in fact, you might want to do this right now, Art, because it's kind of fun. And, you know, see what you're seeing, all right? And what happens is there's a continuum. People who are extremely left brain cannot picture. They cannot visualize. They have to be taught how to do that. But they can think about, they can remember, they can use their mind in other ways. So I teach them how to use their mind in ways that are effective for them. Kind of the middle of the road person, somebody who's, you know, kind of in that 50-50 range, And somebody who is truly 50-50 is what we call a somnambulist, and that's another issue that people have to deal with, and we cover that, and it's not a good or a bad, it's just an awareness. But then as you continue to becoming more and more right brain, not only are you going to kind of just see that tree that the person in the center sees, but as you become more right brain, you're going to start seeing, and I'm just using these as examples, the swing in the tree, the kid in the swing, the dragonflies, the butterflies, the sun, the clouds, the flower beds, the grass. The scene becomes much more intricate the more right brain you are. So using those as your kind of your three benchmarks, being able to not visualize at all, having just a basic tree of some kind all the way up to all the added details, you can kind of evaluate where you are on that continuum. Really pretty easy stuff. It's not complicated, but you have to know how to learn. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. When people can evaluate themselves, that helps because now they're interacting.
Right, right. And any self-understanding that we have, you know, as you learn this information, the next time you take a seminar, even if that person doesn't know how to present it to you, you can switch it around in your own mind to get the most out of it. We really do drive our own bus once we know how. It's just the learning how that can be difficult because nobody's teaching us the stuff that we really need to know to make a difference in our life.
You mentioned the word somnambulist. Doesn't that mean sleepwalking?
It can. Okay. Somnambulism has, you know, it can be like a depth of hypnosis. It refers to that. Somnambulists are people who tend to sleepwalk, so that's where that connection comes in. But it's also an identifying factor of somebody who is literally 50-50, right brain, left brain. Interestingly enough, there is evidence that most natural psychics are somnambulists. I'm not saying that that's always good, though, because what happens with somnambulist art is they take in information like little sponges.
Well, we're about out of time. Do you have any final thoughts before we go?
Well, you know, I caught myself as we were talking saying things, you know, that nobody else is teaching this, nobody else is teaching this. And one of the things that I want to clarify on that, nobody's trying to not teach this stuff. The problem is they can't teach it because they don't know it either, okay? So nobody's intentionally misleading anybody, and there's a lot of people out there who really are teaching amazing things. But if you really want to have a deep and profound understanding of how to work with your mind, I mean, after all, if you're going to work with your mind, you can't do it well unless you know how your mind works. So if you really want to understand how to take working with your mind to the next level, this is very critical information. Can I offer everything I know in a 4-week e-group? No, I cannot. But I can give you an awful lot of ammunition to go out, take on the world, and create and develop a life for yourself that is just utterly amazing.
Wow. Thanks for all that information, and thank you for coming on the show today.
Art, thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's time for the Thought for the Day. And today's Thought for the Day will be read by Allison Ray, my wife.
Well, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And what's today's Thought for the Day?
Today's Thought for the Day is from reading 826-2. Unless those activities among men are the aid for the greater number, rather than for the class or the few, they must eventually fail.
And what do you think that means?
I really like this reading because to me it talks about how important it is for us not only to think about our activities in terms of ourselves or the people close to us, but instead to think about these activities from a global perspective and how they would eventually impact not just the people maybe in our own nation, but all the people in the world.
And it does contrast two different group sizes, it seems. Some people might think, as long as I'm doing something for those immediately around me, or mm-hmm. for my platoon, if you're in the military, or your squad, but you have to think bigger and perhaps think about battalion, or you have to think about maybe on a larger geographical area. Mm-hmm. I guess not just your Facebook friends.
Exactly. But all of the people in the world, because eventually everything changes. I mean, if you think about the Roman Empire, and it had a huge number of people, but eventually even that fell.
Oh, yes. Well, thanks for doing the Thought for the Day today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
That's all the time we have for the show today. Thanks to Mitzi Krall, Ph.D., for talking to us. To find out more about her e-group, Co-Creating Your Life Using Whole Brain Thinking, go to edgarcasey.org, click on Education, and then click on e-groups. Thanks also to Allison Ray for the Thought for the Day, and most of all to you, the listener. Thanks for listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce.